pray this day to hear your voice. Lord, teach us your word. Lord, draw us close to you by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, our desire today is to hear a word from you. And Lord, may we hear your voice this day, and your voice only, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll take your Bibles, please, and turn to Jonah chapter 3. Verses 1 through 10. And you might want to put your finger over in Jeremiah chapter 18. But we're going to go there right after we read Jonah. So Jonah 3, 1 through 10 first. Hear the word of the Lord. In those days and at that time, That's Joel. That would be better if I got in Jonah. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them from the greatest to the least put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation to Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with his compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. Jeremiah 18. Beginning in verse 5. Then the word of the Lord came to me. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Now therefore say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says, look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. But they will reply, it's no use. We will continue with our own plans. Each of us will follow the stubbornness of his evil heart. We've seen in Jonah, back in chapter 1, here in chapter 3, a great contrast between Jonah and the heathen. We see the heathen humbling themselves before God, fasting, praying, crying out to God, and we see God's people sinful and rebellious, thumbing their nose at God. And we see the outworking of that in history. This is a great historical day for our country. But we see throughout the outworking of God's dealing with different nations, different responses. The Ninevites repented when they heard the message of God's judgment. From the greatest to the least, they sat in the dust and clothed themselves in sackcloth and cried out to God, and turned from their evil ways. The people of Israel, confronted with exactly the same message from God, go, Well, it's no use. We can't help ourselves. We'll just continue to be as evil as we've always been. And thumb their nose at God. The question I would put to you today, on this day in which we celebrate the declaration of our intention as a people to become a free and independent country, the question that I would pose as we consider today how God has blessed this place. How from very small, humble beginnings, I mean, a ragtag bunch of patriots going up against the most powerful nation in the whole world. What chance did they have? And yet God has blessed this place beyond measure. We live in luxury that the rest of the world can only imagine. We have things the poorest people in this country have things that people in other countries consider to be miracles. Yet, what is our situation? Where are we in regard to God? And I would say to you that my answer to that question is that we are as rich and powerful and influential as Nineveh. We've been blessed with God's word and God's prophets and God's people, like the nation of Israel. And yet we are as wicked and sinful as the two of them put together. We see the king of Nineveh repenting, sitting in the dust of the street with sackcloth and fasting. We need to see the leaders of this country humbling themselves before God. We don't see it. We see the people of Nineveh, from the greatest to the least, even the animals, fasting, calling out to God, and turning, repenting, turning from their evil ways. Now, some would say to me, well, you're overstating the case. This country is not near as bad as all that. This is a Christian nation. This is a nation where people love God. This is a nation where people do good. And I would answer to them, this nation is just like Israel. Israel said, we'll be safe because this is the place where the temple of the Lord is. This is the place where God has made His dwelling. We'll be safe. Even though they wouldn't have used that word, we're a Christian nation, a place where God has set up His throne, where God is worshiped in His temple. And I would remind the people who think like that to read God's word, because God says to the Israelites, go to Shiloh and see what I have done to the first place where I made a name for myself, where I set up a place for the people to worship. Go there and see what I have done to that place. And I think the lesson for the country in which we live today is that we should look at these places. There's more than one. There's many places down through history where God has set up His name, where God has blessed the people. Look at Germany. Look at people like Martin Luther and the people that led the Reformation. Look what that country became. Look at England. Even look at the Roman Empire. It became known as the City of God before the Mongols and the Vandals and all the hordes came and destroyed it. We should look at these other places where God has put His name and see what He did to them. Jeremiah chapter 7. says, "Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah, who come through these gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says, reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words and say, 'This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord.' If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the alien, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I will let you live in this place, in the land I gave your forefathers forever and ever. But look, you are trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal, and follow other gods you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house which bears my name and say, 'We are safe, safe to do all these detestable things'? Has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you? But I've been watching, declares the Lord." Verse 20. "Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says, 'My anger and my wrath will be poured out on this place, on man and beast, on the trees of the field, and on the fruit of the ground that will burn and not be quenched.'" And then in verse 27, he says to the prophet, "When you tell them all this, they will not listen to you. When you call to them," excuse me, "they will not answer. Therefore say to them, 'This is the nation that has not obeyed the Lord its God or responded to correction. Truth is perished. It is vanished from their lips.'" That is where we live. The summons here is exactly the same as the summons to the people of Nineveh. If you do these things, I will let you live in this land. We do not enjoy the things of this land because we're smarter or better than the rest of the people of the world. We enjoy and possess these things because God allows it. And yet, God says the truth has vanished. Truth, and increasingly biblical truth, is assaulted on every side in this country. And the assault escalates every day and every week. We commit the list he has here: murder, adultery, theft, perjury. We burn incense. No, we're not stupid enough to light a little. Well, some people are. Light a little candle. We worship all kind of false gods. We bow down to them. And we think that God does not see. What did God tell these people? Listen to these words. And this is just the briefest summary of what the Lord warned the people of Israel. Jeremiah 19. "Hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and people of Jerusalem. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Listen, I'm going to bring a disaster on this place that will make the ears of everyone here who hears of it tingle. For they have forsaken me and made this a place of foreign gods. They have burned sacrifices in it to gods that neither they nor their fathers nor the kings of Judah ever knew. And they have filled this place with the blood of the innocent. They have built the high places of Baal to burn their sons in the fire as offerings to Baal, something I did not command or mention, nor did it enter my mind. So beware, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when people will no longer call this place Topheth or the Valley of Ben-Hinnom, but the Valley of Slaughter." Ezekiel 33. Beginning of verse 25. "Therefore say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, since you eat meat with the blood in it, and look to your idols and shed blood, then should you then possess the land? You rely on your sword. You do detestable things, and each of you defiles his neighbor's wife. Should you then possess the land? Say this to them. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. As surely as I live, those who are left in the ruins will fall by the sword. Those out in the country I will give to the wild animals to be devoured, and those in the strongholds and caves will die of a plague. I will make the land a desolate waste, and her proud strength will come to an end, and the mountains of Israel will become desolate so that no one will cross them. Then they will know that I am the Lord, when I have made the land a desolate waste because of all the detestable things they have done. Ezekiel 23, end of verse 36. Then confront them with their detestable practices, for they have committed adultery, and blood is on their hands. They committed adultery with their idols. They even sacrificed their children, whom they bore to me as food for them. They have done all this to me. At the same time, they defiled my sanctuary and desecrated my Sabbaths. On the very day they sacrificed their children to their idols, they entered my sanctuary and desecrated it. This is what they did in my house. One more. Jeremiah 32. Beginning in verse 26. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I'm about to hand this city over to the Babylonians and to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, who will capture it. The Babylonians who are attacking the city will come and set it on fire. They will burn it down along with the houses where the people provoked me to anger by burning incense on the roofs to Baal, by pouring out drink offerings to other gods. The people of Israel and Judah have done nothing but evil in my sight from their youth. Indeed, the people of Israel have done nothing but provoke me with what their hands have made, declares the Lord. From the day I built until now, this city has so aroused my anger and wrath that I must remove it from my sight. The people of Israel and Judah have provoked me by all the evil they have done. They, their kings and officials, their priests and prophets, the men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, they turned their backs to me and not their faces. Though I taught them again and again, they would not listen or respond to discipline. They set up their abominable idols in the house that bears my name and defiled it. They built high places for Baal in the valley of Ben-Hinnom to sacrifice their sons and daughters to Molech, though I never commanded it, nor did it enter my mind that they should do such a detestable thing and so make Judah sin. These were the warnings to the people of Israel. They were very clear. Do any of these things have anything to do with us? The land in which we live, the land where God has put His name. Did you hear that over and over? The place I built, the place I put my name, my sanctuary, my land. Well, let's just see. He says they commit adultery. Each one has defiled his neighbor's wife. Adultery has become a tremendous industry in this country. I say that because every movie and every TV show that you can watch, somewhere in that show, adultery is presented as something lovely and good and desirable. And we've been bombarded with this in increasing doses for years and decades, and we live with the result. If you listen and read the surveys, the incidence of adultery, of divorce, of cohabitation, premarital sex among teens, out-of-wedlock pregnancies, The incidence of those things within the church is exactly the same as those outside the church. We have become like the people that God describes here. God says they commit another kind of adultery. They commit adultery with their idols. They leave their first love, God. And they commit adultery with foreign gods. And they worship idols. They even bring those idols into His sanctuary and set them up in His temple. Syncretism. Why can't we just all get along religion? And folks, that's where we live. Foreign gods. He talked there about you worship gods that your fathers never knew, never heard of. What has infiltrated this country? Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, Taoism, Shintoism, every kind of Eastern mysticism has plagued this country, and it's become chic and cool and hip to be part of that. Or, as so many of them do, buy into pieces of those kind of religions and yet call themselves Christians. One of the fastest growing religions in this country is the Wicca religion. We call it witchcraft. And many of them call themselves Christian Wiccas. There's no such thing. That was the sin of Israel. They didn't quit going to the temple. They just stopped off at the nearest Baal altar on the way and sacrificed to Baal and then went to the temple, wanting to cover all their bases. It's what people are doing in this country. Well, that sounds good to me. I like parts of that. I like parts of this. Some parts of the Bible I don't really care for. So I'll just kind of mix it all together. That's where we live, folks. And the churches have been infected with a liberal theology that brings into God's house theologies and beliefs and denials of Scripture that have nothing to do with God, His character, the worship of Him, or His truth. The truth has been abandoned. God mentions over and over here the shedding of blood, and particularly the shedding of innocent blood, their children. These people take their children, their sons and their daughters, and they kill them in front of a golden statue of a cow. How ignorant can they be? How wicked can they be? Church, we have sacrificed 50 million babies in this country to the God of choice. Our crimes rise up to heaven. And we think God doesn't see. Hitler is the epitome of evil because he killed 6 million Jews. And Chairman Mao and Stalin are associated with the greatest of evil because they killed 20 or 25 million of their own citizens. We have killed more babies in the mother's womb in this country than all those evil regimes put together. And we think that God does not see. The greatest devastation could come on this country tomorrow, and it would not even be what we deserve. We take our sons and daughters and sacrifice them in the fire to pagan gods. And you can't call it anything else. And God says, they do this and then they come to to my sanctuary right afterwards. And when I hear that, I can't help but think of Dr. Tiller, the famous Kansas abortionist, who was murdered in his church. I'm sure you heard all about it on the news. Let me say this. The man who murdered him was wrong. But let me ask you this question. Where was the church? It is inconceivable that there was one person in that church that did not know what he did for a living. And he was famous because you could go to Kansas and get the baby aborted 2 days before it was to be delivered. That's how callous and evil he was. He was a deacon or an elder, whatever they called him, in that church. Where was the church? Where was the church discipline? I guess they gave a lot of money to the church. God also says they desecrate my Sabbaths. When the people of Israel were taken into captivity, Scripture tells us that the land then was able to enjoy its Sabbaths. Why'd they stay in captivity 70 years? It's how many Sabbaths they owed the Lord. And yet they come back after the captivity, and Nehemiah says in chapter 13, "In those days I saw men in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in grain and loading it on donkeys, together with wine and grapes and figs and all other kinds of loads. And they were bringing all this into Jerusalem on the Sabbath. Therefore I warned them against selling food on that day. Men from Tyre who lived in Jerusalem were bringing in fish and all kinds of merchandise and selling them in Jerusalem on the Sabbath to the people of Judah. I rebuked the nobles of Judah and said to them, 'What is this wicked thing you are doing, desecrating the Sabbath day? Didn't your forefathers do the same things so that our God brought all this calamity upon us and upon this city?'" I don't even have to tell you how we desecrate the Lord's day. You know more examples than I know. The people of America, blessed by God, many are rejoicing this day, and I think we should rejoice too. God has poured out His blessings immensely on this place. But the people of this country think that God is blind and deaf and dumb. He does not hear the cries of the innocent. He does not see our evil. That He's powerless to act. That He has to accept whatever we do for Him. We're like the people of Judah. We cry out. It's no use. We just can't help ourselves. We're just going to continue on in our way. And God warned those people specifically. Continue on in your way, and this is what will come. I think we should listen to those words of warning that we heard earlier. He said, "You will pay the penalty. You will suffer the consequences of your idolatry. Then you will know that I am the Lord God." You find that phrase over and over in the prophets. Then they will know that I am the Lord when I make this land a desolate waste because of all their detestable practices. What can we do? What can we do? Tell you what the people of Nineveh did. That's where we are. That's the text. They humbled themselves before God and fasted and repented and prayed and sought God's mercy, and they turned from their wicked ways. And when God saw that, He had compassion on them. God sent Jonah to warn the people of Nineveh. How do our people know? How should we know? God has not left us without warning. He has not left us without instruction. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. That is the exact parallel of what we saw in chapter 3. Exactly what the people of Nineveh did and exactly what God did. And it's exact prescription for what needs to happen in this country this day. I've only outlined the barest sketch of what goes on in this country. And although I've read you a lot of scripture this morning, it's just the barest scripture that God has set forth concerning these things. There's more that God has said, and there's evil in this place beyond explaining. So what do we need to do? Many places around the land today will be great sermons of praise and thanks to God for what He has done in this place. For what, from humble beginnings, God has raised up here. And I think that's all fitting and good. And we should be grateful for that. But I think as God's people, we should repent and pray for this nation and call this nation to repentance. Perhaps, who knows, perhaps God will have compassion on us and spare us that which is so clear in the Scripture. Let's pray. Lord, we come today and we do lift up to You a prayer for this nation, this place in which we enjoy so much from Your hand. This place where You have poured out blessing upon blessing, protection, deliverance. Lord, our enemies have been beaten back time and time again, not by our sword, but by Your power. Lord, good times and bad times have come. We've always emerged, and we've always enjoyed more blessings, financially, materially. And Lord, in spite of all this, this people turns their back to You. They do not turn their face towards You. They turn their back to You. And Your people, many who call Your name, whether they're Your people we know not, but they claim Your name and claim that You're in this place. And they throw up their hands and say, what can we do? We'll just continue on the way we're going. And Lord, our prayer this day is if they are Your people, that You would turn their hearts towards You. That You would break their hearts. That You would convict them of the evil. Lord, may Your people rise up in this place. May they make themselves known. And Lord, may they call sin, sin. May they call people to repentance. Lord, by Your grace we can do this. In Your strength we can do this. It is not in us to do this, but we pray that You would give us the strength. Give Your people in this country the boldness and the strength, the wisdom, and the empowerment of Your Holy Spirit to speak out and turn the hearts of these people to You, that You might receive glory and honor and praise and blessing. We ask these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.